Chapter 4. God prepares a city for them. Confer Hebrews 11:16. 50. In presenting the story of the patriarchs and the righteous men and women of the Old Testament, the letter to the Hebrews highlights an essential aspect of their faith. That faith is not only presented as a journey, but also as a process of building, the preparing of a place in which human beings can dwell together with one another. The first builder was Noah, who saved his family in the ark. Hebrews 11:7. Then comes Abraham, of whom it is said that by faith he dwelt in tents, as he looked forward to the city with firm foundations. Confer Hebrews 11:9-10. With faith comes a new reliability, a new firmness, which God alone can give. If the man of faith finds support in the God of fidelity, the God who is Amen, confer Isaiah 65:16, and thus becomes firm himself, we can now also say that firmness of faith marks the city which God is preparing for mankind. Faith reveals just how firm the bonds between people can be when God is present in their midst. Faith does not merely grant interior firmness, a steadfast conviction on the part of the believer. It also sheds light on every human relationship because it is born of love and reflects God's own love. The God who is himself reliable gives us a city which is reliable. 51. Precisely because it is linked to love, confer Galatians 5:6, the light of faith is concretely placed at the service of justice, law, and peace. Faith is born of an encounter with God's primordial love, wherein the meaning and goodness of our life become evident. Our life is illumined to the extent that it enters into the space opened by that love, to the extent that it becomes, in other words, a path and praxis leading to the fullness of love. The light of faith is capable of enhancing the richness of human relations, their ability to endure, to be trustworthy, to enrich our life together. Faith does not draw us away from the world or prove irrelevant to the concrete concerns of the men and women of our time. Without a love which is trustworthy, nothing could truly keep men and women united. Human unity would be conceivable only on the basis of utility, on a calculus of conflicting interests, or on fear, but not on the goodness of living together, not on the joy which the mere presence of others can give. Faith, which makes us appreciate the architecture of human relationships because it grasps their ultimate foundation and definitive destiny in God, in His love, and thus sheds light on the art of building. As such, it becomes a service to the common good. Faith is truly a good for everyone. It is a common good. Its light does not simply brighten the interior of the church, nor does it serve solely to build an eternal city in the hereafter. It helps us build our societies in such a way that they can journey towards a future of hope. The letter to the Hebrews offers an example in this regard when it names, among the men and women of faith, Samuel and David, whose faith enabled them to administer justice. Hebrews 11:33. This expression refers to their justice in governance, to that wisdom which brings peace to the people. Confer 1 Samuel 12:3-5, 2 Samuel 8:15. The hands of faith are raised up to heaven, even as they go about building in charity a city based on relationships in which the love of God is laid as a foundation. 52. In Abraham's journey toward the future city, the letter to the Hebrews mentions the blessing which was passed on from fathers to sons. Confer Hebrews 11:20-21. The first setting in which faith enlightens the human city is the family. I think first and foremost of the stable union of man and woman in marriage. This union is born of their love as a sign and presence of God's own love and of the acknowledgement and acceptance of the goodness of sexual differentiation whereby spouses can become one flesh. Confer Genesis 2:24. And they are enabled to give birth to a new life, a manifestation of the Creator's goodness, wisdom, and loving plan. Grounded in this love, a man and a woman can promise each other mutual love in a gesture which engages their entire lives and mirrors many features of faith. Promising love forever is possible when we perceive a plan bigger than our own ideas and undertakings, a plan which sustains us and enables us to surrender our future entirely to the one we love. Faith also helps us to grasp in all its depth and richness the begetting of children as a sign of the love of the Creator who entrusts us with the mystery of a new person. So it was that Sarah, by faith, became a mother, for she trusted in God's fidelity to his promise. Confer Hebrews 11:11. 53. In the family, faith accompanies every age of life, beginning with childhood. Children learn to trust in the love of their parents. This is why it is so important that within their families, parents encourage shared expressions of faith which can help children gradually to mature in their own faith. Young people in particular, who are going through a period in their lives which is so complex, rich, and important for their faith, ought to feel the constant closeness and support of their families and the church in their journey of faith. We have all seen during World Youth Days the joy that young people show in their faith and their desire for an ever more solid and generous life of faith. Young people want to live life to the fullest. Encountering Christ, letting themselves be caught up in and guided by his love, enlarges the horizons of existence. It gives a firm hope which will not disappoint. Faith is no refuge for the faint-hearted, but something which enhances our lives. It makes us aware of a magnificent calling, the vocation of love. It assures us that this love is trustworthy and worth embracing, for it is based on God's faithfulness, which is stronger than our every weakness. 54. Absorbed and deepened in the family, faith becomes a light capable of illumining all our relationships in society. As an experience of the mercy of God the Father, it sets us on the path of brotherhood. Modernity sought to build a universal brotherhood based on equality, yet we gradually came to realize that this brotherhood, lacking a reference to a common Father as its ultimate foundation, cannot endure. We need to return to the true basis of brotherhood. The history of faith has been from the beginning a history of brotherhood, albeit not without conflict. God calls Abraham to go forth from his land and promises to make of him a great nation, a great people on whom the divine blessing rests. Confer Genesis 12:1-3. As salvation history progresses, it becomes evident that God wants to make everyone share as brothers and sisters in that one blessing which attains its fullness in Jesus, so that all may be one. The boundless love of our Father also comes to us in Jesus through our brothers and sisters. Faith teaches us to see that every man and woman represents a blessing for me, that the light of God's faith shines on me through the faces of my brothers and sisters. How many benefits has the gaze of Christian faith brought to the city of men for their common life? Thanks to faith, we have come to understand the unique dignity of each person, something which was not clearly seen in antiquity. In the 2nd century, the pagan Celsus reproached Christians for an idea that he considered foolishness and a delusion, namely that God created the world for man, setting human beings at the pinnacle of the entire cosmos. Why claim that grass grows for the benefit of man, rather than for that of the most savage of the brute beasts? If we look down to earth from the heights of heaven, would there really be any difference between our activities and those of the ants and bees? At the heart of biblical faith is God's love, his concrete concern for every person, and his plan of salvation which embraces all of humanity and all creation, culminating in the incarnation, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without insight into these realities, There is no criterion for discerning what makes human life precious and unique. Man loses his place in the universe. He is cast adrift in nature, either renouncing his proper moral responsibility or else presuming to be a sort of absolute judge, endowed with an unlimited power to manipulate the world around him. 55. Faith, on the other hand, by revealing the love of God the Creator, enables us to respect nature all the more and to discern in it a grammar written by the hand of God and a dwelling place entrusted to our protection and care. Faith also helps us to devise models of development which are based not simply on utility and profit, but consider creation as a gift for which we are all indebted. It teaches us to create just forms of government in the realization that authority comes from God and is meant for the service of the common good. Faith likewise offers the possibility of forgiveness, which so often demands time and effort, patience and commitment. Forgiveness is possible once we discover that goodness is always prior to and more powerful than evil, and that the word with which God affirms our life is deeper than our every denial. From a purely anthropological standpoint, unity is superior to conflict. Rather than avoiding conflict, we need to confront it in an effort to resolve and move beyond it, to make it a link in a chain, as part of progress towards unity. When faith is weakened, the foundations of humanity also risk being weakened, as the poet T.S. Eliot warned. Do you need to be told that even those modest attainments, as you can boast in the way of polite society, will hardly survive the faith to which they owe their significance? If we remove faith in God from our cities, mutual trust would be weakened. We would remain united only by fear, and our stability would be threatened. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read that God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Hebrews 11:16. Here the expression, "is not ashamed," is associated with public acknowledgement. The intention is to say that God, by his concrete actions, makes a public avowal that he is present in our midst and that he desires to solidify every human relationship. Could it be the case instead that we are the ones who are ashamed to call God our God, that we are the ones who fail to confess him as such in our public life, who fail to propose the grandeur of the life in common which he makes possible? Faith illumines life and society. If it possesses a creative light for each new movement of history, it is because it sets every event in relationship to the origin and destiny of all things in the Father. 56. Writing to the Christians of Corinth about his sufferings and tribulations, St. Paul links his faith to his preaching of the gospel. In himself, he sees fulfilled the passage of Scripture, which reads, "I believed, and so I spoke." 2 Corinthians 4:13. The reference is to a verse of Psalm 116, in which the psalmist exclaims, "I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted." Verse 10. To speak of faith often involves speaking of painful testing. Yet it is precisely in such testing that Paul sees the most convincing proclamation of the gospel, for it is in weakness and suffering that we discover God's power, which triumphs over our weakness and suffering. The apostle himself experienced a dying which would become life for Christians. Confer 2 Corinthians 4:7-12. In the hour of trial, faith brings light, while suffering and weakness make it evident that we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:5. The 11th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews concludes with a reference to those who suffered for their faith. Confer Hebrews 11:35-38. Outstanding among these was Moses, who suffered abuse for the Christ. Confer, verse 26. Christians know that suffering cannot be eliminated, yet it can have meaning and become an act of love and entrustment into the hands of God who does not abandon us. In this way, it can serve as a moment of growth in faith and love. By contemplating Christ's union with the Father, even at the height of his sufferings on the cross, confer Mark 15:34, Christians learn to share in the same gaze of Jesus. Even death is illumined and can be experienced as the ultimate call to faith, the ultimate go forth from your land, Genesis 12:1, the ultimate come, spoken by the Father, to whom we abandon ourselves in the confidence that he will keep us steadfast, even in our final passage. 57. Nor does the light of faith make us forget the sufferings of this world. How many men and women of faith have found mediators of light in those who suffer. So it was with St. Francis of Assisi and the leper, or with Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta and her poor. They understood the mystery at work in them. In drawing near to the suffering, they were certainly not able to eliminate all their pain or to explain every evil. Faith is not a light which scatters all our darkness, but a lamp which guides our steps in the night and suffices for the journey. To those who suffer, God does not provide arguments which explain everything. Rather, his response is that of an accompanying presence, a history of goodness which touches every story of suffering and opens up a ray of light. In Christ, God himself wishes to share this path with us and to offer us his gaze so that we might see the light within it. Christ is the one who, having endured suffering, is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Suffering reminds us that faith's service to the common good is always one of hope, a hope which looks ever ahead in the knowledge that only from God, from the future which comes from the risen Christ, can our society find solid and lasting foundations. In this sense, faith is linked to hope, for even if our dwelling place here below is wasting away, we have an eternal dwelling place which God has already prepared in Christ in his body. Confer 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 5:5. The dynamic of faith, hope, and charity, confer 1 Thessalonians 1:3, 1 Corinthians 13:13, thus leads us to embrace the concerns of all men and women on our journey toward that city whose architect and builder is God. Hebrews 11:10. For hope does not disappoint. Romans 5:5. In union with faith and charity, hope propels us toward a sure future, set against a different horizon with regard to all the illusory enticements of the idols of this world, yet granting new momentum and strength to our daily lives. Let us refuse to be robbed of hope, or to allow our hope to be dimmed by facile answers and solutions which block our progress, fragmenting time and changing it into space. Time is always much greater than space. Space hardens processes, whereas time propels towards the future and encourages us to go forward in hope. 58. In the parable of the sower, St. Luke has left us these words of the Lord about the good soil. These are the ones who, when they hear the word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. Luke 8:15. In the context of Luke's gospel, this mention of an honest and good heart, which hears and keeps the word, is an implicit portrayal of the faith of the Virgin Mary. The evangelist himself speaks of Mary's memory, how she treasured in her heart all that she had heard and seen, so that the word could bear fruit in her life. The Mother of the Lord is the perfect icon of faith, as St. Elizabeth would say, "Blessed is she who believed." Luke 1:45. In Mary, the daughter of Zion, is fulfilled the long history of faith of the Old Testament, with its account of so many faithful women, beginning with Sarah, women who, alongside the patriarchs, were those in whom God's promise was fulfilled and new life flowered. In the fullness of time, God's word was spoken to Mary, and she received that word into her heart, her entire being, so that in her womb it could take flesh and be born as light for humanity. St. Justin Martyr, in his dialogue with Trifo, uses a striking expression. He tells us that Mary, receiving the message of the angel, conceived faith and joy. In the mother of Jesus, faith demonstrated its fruitfulness. When our own spiritual lives bear fruit, we become filled with joy, which is the clearest sign of faith's grandeur. In her own life, Mary completed the pilgrimage of faith, following in the footsteps of her son. In her, the faith journey of the Old Testament was thus taken up into the following of Christ, transformed by him and entering into the gaze of the incarnate Son of God. 59. We can say that in the Blessed Virgin Mary we find something I mentioned earlier, namely that the believer is completely taken up into his or her confession of faith. Because of her close bond with Jesus, Mary is strictly connected to what we believe. As Virgin and Mother, Mary offers us a clear sign of Christ's divine sonship. The eternal origin of Christ is in the Father. He is the Son in a total and unique sense, and so he is born in time without the intervention of a man. As the Son, Jesus brings to the world a new beginning and a new light, the fullness of God's faithful love bestowed on humanity. But Mary's true motherhood also ensures for the Son of God an authentic human history, true flesh in which he would die on the cross and rise from the dead. Mary would accompany Jesus to the cross, Confer John 19:25, whence her motherhood would extend to each of his disciples, Confer John 19:26-27. She will also be present in the upper room after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, joining the apostles in imploring the gift of the Spirit, Confer Acts 1:14. The movement of love between Father, Son, and Spirit runs through our history, and Christ draws us to himself in order to save us, Confer John 12:32. At the center of our faith is the confession of Jesus, the Son of God, born of a woman, who brings us, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, to adoption as sons and daughters, Confer Galatians 4:4. 60. Let us turn in prayer to Mary, Mother of the Church and Mother of our faith. Mother, help our faith. Open our ears to hear God's word and to recognize his voice and call. Awaken in us a desire to follow in his footsteps, to go forth from our own land and to receive his promise. Help us to be touched by his love, that we may touch him in faith. Help us to entrust ourselves fully to him and to believe in his love, especially at times of trial beneath the shadow of the cross, when our faith is called to mature. Sow in our faith the joy of the risen one. Remind us that those who believe are never alone. Teach us to see all things with the eyes of Jesus, that he may be light for our path. And may this light of faith always increase in us until the dawn of that undying day, which is Christ himself, your Son, our Lord. Given in Rome at St. Peter's on 29 June, the Solemnity of the Holy Apostles Peter and Paul, in the year 2013, the first of my pontificate. Franciscus.